Confident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this January the 13th on the West Coast, now January the 14th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. And we'd also like to welcome all those listening around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network. We're going to be bringing tonight's guest, Drew Malone Raines III, on board in a few minutes after I share a couple of messages with you. And certainly we're going to be commenting on the recent events taking place in Tucson, Arizona. The Gun is Civilization by Major L. Caudill, U.S. Marine Corps, retired. Human beings only have two ways to deal with one another, reason and force. If you want me to do something for you, you have a choice of either convincing me via argument or force me to do your bidding under threat of force. Every human interaction falls into one of those two categories without exception, reason or force. That's it. In a truly moral and civilized society, people exclusively interact through persuasion. Force has no place as a valid method of social interaction, and the only thing that removes force from the menu is the personal firearm, as paradoxical as it may sound to some. When I carry a gun, you cannot deal with me by force. You have to use reason and try to persuade me because I have a way to negate your threat or employment of force. The gun is the only personal weapon that puts a 100-pound woman on equal footing with a 220-pound mugger, a 75-year-old retiree on equal footing with a 19-year-old gangbanger, and a single guy on equal footing with a carload of drunks with baseball bats. The gun removes the disparity in physical strength, size, or numbers between a potential attacker and a defender. There are plenty of people who consider the gun as the source of bad force equations. These are the people who think that we'd be more civilized if all guns were removed from society because a firearm makes it easier for an armed mugger to do his job. That, of course, is only true if the mugger's potential victims are mostly disarmed either by choice or by legislative fiat. It has no validity when most of a mugger's potential marks are armed. People who argue for the banning of arms ask for automatic rule by the young, the strong, and the many, and that's the exact opposite of a civilized society. A mugger, even an armed one, can only make a successful living in a society where the state has granted him a force monopoly. Then there's the argument that the gun makes confrontations lethal that otherwise would only result in injury. This argument is fallacious in several ways. Without guns involved, confrontations are won by the physically superior party inflicting overwhelming injury on the loser. People who think that fists, bats, sticks, or stones don't constitute lethal force watch too much TV where people take beatings and come out of it with a bloody lip at worst. The fact that the gun makes lethal force easier works solely in favor of the weaker defender, not the stronger attacker. If both are armed, the field is level. The gun is the only weapon that's as lethal in the hands of an octogenarian as it is in the hands of a weightlifter. It simply wouldn't work as well as a force equalizer if it wasn't both lethal and easily employable. When I carry a gun, I don't do so because I'm looking for a fight, but because I'm looking to be left alone. The gun at my side means that I cannot be forced, only persuaded. I don't carry it because I'm afraid, but because it enables me to be unafraid. It doesn't limit the actions of those who would interact with me through reason, only the actions of those who would do so by force. It removes force from the equation, and that's why carrying a gun is a civilized act. By Major L. Caudill, U.S. Marine Corps, retired. So, the greatest civilization is one where all citizens are equally armed and can only be persuaded, never forced. Now, I have another message for you, and it's quite interesting how precipitous messages come to us when it's the time to get a message across. This is an actual Craigslist personals ad. To the guy who tried to mug me in downtown Savannah last night before last, the date of this is May 27th, 2010, 1:43 Eastern Standard Time. I was the guy wearing the black Burberry jacket that you demanded that I hand over shortly after you pulled the knife on me and my girlfriend, threatening our lives. You also asked for my girlfriend's purse and earrings. I can only hope that you somehow come across this important message. First, I'd like to apologize for your embarrassment. I didn't expect you to defecate your pants when I drew my pistol after you took my jacket. The evening was not that cold, and I was wearing the jacket for a reason. My girlfriend had just bought me that Kimber Model 1911 45 ACP pistol for my birthday, and we had picked up a shoulder holster for it that very evening. Obviously, you agree that it is a very intimidating weapon when pointed at your head, isn't it? I know it probably wasn't fun walking back to wherever you'd come from with that brown sludge in your pants. I'm sure it was even worse walking barefooted, since I made you leave your shoes, cell phone, and wallet with me. That prevented you from calling or running to your buddies to come help mug us again. After I called your mother, or Mama, as you had her listed in your cell, I explained the entire episode of what you'd done. Then I went and filled up my gas tank, as well as those of four other people in the gas station, on your credit card. The guy with the big motorhome took 150 gallons and was extremely grateful. I gave your shoes to a homeless guy outside Vinnie Van Gogh's, along with all the cash in your wallet. That made his day. I then threw your wallet into the big pink pimpmobile that was parked at the curb after I broke the windshield and side window and keyed the entire driver's side of the car. Later, I called a bunch of phone sex numbers from your cell phone. Ma Bell just now shut down the line, although I only use the phone for a little over a day now. So what's going on with that? Earlier, I managed to get in two threatening phone calls to the DA's office and one to the FBI while mentioning President Obama as my possible target. The FBI guy seemed really intense, and we had a nice long chat, I guess, while he traced your number, etc. In a way, perhaps I should apologize for not killing you, but I feel this type of retribution is far more appropriate punishment for your threatened crime. I wish you well as you try to sort through some of these rather immediate pressing issues, and I can only hope that you have the opportunity to reflect upon and perhaps reconsider the career path you've chosen to pursue in life. Remember, next time you might not be so lucky. Have a good day, Alex. And since that happened last summer, we're going to revisit summer. From his album, A Change of Heart, that was jazz saxophonist David Sanborn. That's a happy song. And after that last story, I had to play that. Think of what it must have been like last summer to be walking or running down the street with your pants filled, no shoes on, no socks, after having tried to rob a couple, have it the tables turned on you. That message was courtesy of the proprietor of the Longhorn Texas Longhorn Cattle Beef Ranch in Barnesville, Ohio, from our good friend Daryl Dickinson. And the first message from the U.S. Marine Corps retired officer was from none other than General Jeremiah from the United Galactic Federation. Now imagine what they go through dealing with reptilians and grays if they were not armed. With that, I'm going to bring on board tonight another talk show host. He is my regular guest on Thursday nights on Evident Footprints. He is responsible for bringing the Wind Talkers Radio Network on board with us here at bbsradio.com. His website is amd.elequity.com. And the name of his show heard 6 days a week on both Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com is A Marine's Disquisition. Why is it called that? Well, he is a former U.S. Marine from 1967 through 1977, and he's here with us tonight, Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Semper Fi, and thank you very much, Don, for allowing me to come on to your show one more time with a stopped-up nose.
They're chemtrailing you again, I suppose.
They're chemtrailing the heck out of me. You ought to see it, man. I want to tell you, you think somebody's trying to build a blanket up there in the sky above my house. And it's night. It's dark out there. You know, it's oh dark 30.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I appreciate what Jeremiah sent you. I've had that in my archives for many years. And it's very true. I have one from just last year. Year before, let's see, this is 2011. Man, I'm going to tell you, Don, I need to go back to bed. Time's fast passing by just too darn fast.
Well, good night then.
I want to tell you, in June of 2007, a former sergeant major in the United States Marine Corps retired. Called me on the phone and said, what kind of a house did you sell me down here in Plantation, Florida? There's more Marines here than there were at Camp Lejeune. Anyhow, in the email, it goes on, and he says a fellow Marine was out having breakfast at the Subway shop. Mm-hmm. Do you have a couple of minutes, Don?
Oh, I do, sure.
Yeah, you mind if I read this?
I got a few minutes.
you mind if I read this? This is an email.
No, go ahead. Sure.
Sergeant Major, United States Marine Corps. And before we get into it, a lot of people want to know, well, what's your rank? What do you do? I don't have a rank anymore. I resigned my commission in 1977. And I look at it a little differently than other former Marines. We're all Marines. We'll be Marines until we pass on. And I consider the honorable discharge and 10 years of honorable service with three good conduct medals more important than PFC stripe or the colonel stripes that are colonel wings that officers have on their lapels. Field grade officers are brigadier general and above, and they're basically CEOs. They're not. They just move through it. It's too political. Once you become a major in the United States Marine Corps, from that point on, you're not in the fighting corps. You're in the political corps. Once you leave that Oak Leaf behind, and turned it in for a silver oak leaf, which is a lieutenant colonel in the United States Marine Corps, you are more political in the history of the recent wars. There have been no lieutenant colonels in combat at all. The last lieutenant colonel that fought in combat happened to be in Vietnam, and he just happened to be on a helicopter that got crashed. Other than that, we haven't had full bird colonels in the combat, nor have we had generals in combat since Vietnam. The last general, United States Marine Corps, died in combat in Vietnam. But going back to what I would like to read here, it flows exactly with the article that Don Nikolaus just read. Plantation, Florida, June 28, 2007. Plantation police, this is the city of Plantation, Florida. Plantation police were called to investigate an attempted armed robbery. The 71-year-old retired United States Marine, Vietnam veteran, opened fire on two robbers at the local Plantation, Florida subway shop Wednesday night, killing one and critically wounding the other. John Lovell, former helicopter pilot, Vietnam, for two presidents, defended himself and the subway. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He works out daily, like most Marines. Mr. Lovell was a man of action last evening. According to Plantation police, two masked, well-armed gunmen came into the subway at 1949 North Pine Road a little bit after 11 p.m. There was a lone diner. The diner, former Marine Mr. Lovell, was just finishing up his late-night snack. After robbing the cashiers, the two robbers motioned to Mr. Lovell and shoved him toward the back, getting him well into the bathroom. They got his money, but then, after shoving him into the men's room, Mr. Lovell pulled out his handgun from his waist. Legally concealed permit carrier. He began to defend himself. He shot one of the thieves who had pointed his gun, and he shot that man in the head, killing him instantly, and the chest. And the other he shot in the head as that man fired shots into the laboratory. Then that man turned and ran, even with a headshot, severely wounded. Police arrived 10 minutes later. They found the man in the laboratory. Canine units began searching for the other man and finding him in nearby bushes. As the canine units had no trouble in locating where he was due to the fact that large amounts of cash were strewn in a trail from the front of the subway shop to where he lay dying in the bushes at a neighboring business. Both men were taken to Broward General Medical Facility. Donicio Arrendel, age 22, of North Lauderdale, was pronounced dead on arrival. 21-year-old Frederick Gadsden remains in critical condition with a head wound. A longtime friend of Mr. Lovell, another former Marine, living two doors down, was not surprised to hear that his neighbor had defended his Subway sandwich. The friend said, Lovell will give you the shirt off his back. All you have to do is ask for it. You need a meal? Ask Lovell, and he'll make sure you get a better meal than what he ate. But man, when... But man, he gets mad as hell if somebody tries to take the shirt off of his back. Mr. Lovell was a pilot in the United States Marine Corps, flying helicopters for both President John Fitzgerald Kennedy, Lyndon Baines Johnson. Three tours in Vietnam. Mr. Lovell is not expected to be charged by the local authorities. Quoting Detective Reddick, he was in fear of his life. Therefore, these criminals ought to realize that most men in their 70s have military backgrounds and aren't intimidated by such idiots. Something tells me this old Marine wasn't in fear of his life, even though his life was definitely in danger. The only thing he can be charged with by the local police department is participating in an unfair fight. One 71-year-old young Marine against two local stupid punks. Two headshots, one center body mass, one dead, one critical. Outstanding shooting, as far as I'm concerned. That'll teach the local thugs not to get between a Marine and his meal. Police chief. Plantation. City. Florida. June 29th, 2007. I didn't realize it was almost 4 years old. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, Don started this. I didn't. I didn't know what I was going to talk about tonight. But guns have protected this nation since its foundation. And we as citizens have had a moral duty to protect ourselves and a God-given natural right. Only those who want control, only those who don't care about others, only those who believe that laws written by individuals who don't have to abide by those laws are out there writing laws so you can be controlled. More and more people, ladies and gentlemen, are standing up and saying, sir, no, sir, I'm not going to take this anymore. Where do we go from here, Don? I'm going to tell you, people are mad out there.
Well, they should be. They should be. You know, I hadn't planned anything for the introduction tonight on the show. We hadn't talked about anything today, we don't really need to do that other than to bring forth the truth.
And now, somebody asked me one day.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Somebody asked me one day, how do you plan your shows? I don't. I sit back and drink a cup of coffee. Walk around, go outside, do a little, I pray, and ladies and gentlemen, I do get on my hands and knees and pray, but I personally, today, I'm out walking around in my shorts, my jogging shorts and my short sleeve shirt, a pair of tennis shoes, and my neighbors think I'm crazy because the temperature was 29 degrees. It snows everywhere, and I'm out there walking around my yard, and I'm talking to God. And why am I talking to God? Because God's with me, and God's with you, and God's around us. He created the entire universe. He is everywhere, and he tells you he's everywhere. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega. Just because you don't hear him doesn't mean he's not listening. Just because you pray and your prayer isn't answered, that doesn't mean you didn't get an answer. The answer just happens to be no. You don't like the answer, so you forget and you don't pray. sometimes you pray for guidance and it's given to you, but you don't pay any attention to it because it's not what you want. Marines, former Marines, former Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guardsmen, Mariners, Air National Guardsmen, reservists, they've got one thing in common. They love freedom and liberty. They have fought and died with brothers for liberty. They didn't go out and fight for a license so they could carry a gun. They fought because they went out and fought, and many have died for the God-given right to protect themselves and their families. Once you're a Marine, you're not a Marine when you retire, when you resign. No, you're a Marine through your blood, your heart. You're a Marine for eternity. You're born a Marine, you may not even know it. Many of us that have joined the service, all branches of the service, joined the service because we needed a job. Those that joined the Marine Corps joined for the love of country, not because we needed a job. 99%, I repeat, 99% of every man that enlists in the United States Marine Corps enlists as an enlisted man feeling in his heart that he is going into combat and will serve in combat, regardless if he signs a 2, 3, 4-year commitment. When the officers graduate from Annapolis, they have a choice to be in the Navy or the Marine Corps, especially those that come forth into Annapolis just to seek a college degree, because Annapolis is one of the better universities. And they don't join, or they don't go to school with that knowledge. It was bestowed on them by a U.S. senator because their father or their mother served honorably in the wars that the United States has been involved in, and they were decorated. All Medal of Honor recipients, posthumously or alive, and there has been only one in the last 30 years, but all Medal of Honor recipients, families, their sons, their daughters, have a free trip to Annapolis if they so desire, and they maintain a 2.75 grade point average. All they have to do is apply to their senator and say, my father gave his life for this nation and was awarded the Medal of Honor in doing so. The senator will be more than happy to get the entrance forms, sign the documents, and you're automatically in. Other than that, anyone else has to petition through a United States senator to go to Annapolis. There's no scholarships for football. There's no scholarships for basketball. The coaches don't go out to high schools and recruit players. Many of you know of Roger Staubach, Dallas Cowboys, a great quarterback. Most of you don't know that as a Heisman Trophy winner from Annapolis. When he finished his four-year stunt at Annapolis, he spent 6 years in the United States Navy. He threw his first pro football pass at the age of 29. Many of you out there fail to remember those honorable men that have given their lives for this nation so you could carry a gun. But you submit to congressmen and senators and mayors and district attorneys who fight to take your God-given right to own a weapon to protect your family. These gun laws really didn't get heavy until 1968. And here we are today, 43 years later. And we got a new man in office who wants to ban another 100 guns, rifles, pistols. And what kind of laws are going to come forth because of this tragedy in Tucson? And how many of you have thought about the tragedy being stopped because two men had guts to confront this child with a pistol? This child. The ACLU yells and screams about the rights. I got news for you. I was listening to a talk show host where a woman called in about too many people have guns, but this tragedy in Tucson, Arizona, who was the first person killed? It was a judge, wasn't the congressman. Who was the second person shot and wounded? Nobody talks about him. Who was the third that was shot? A 9-year-old girl. A 9-year-old baby. And her claim to fame was that she was born on 9/11 at approximately 6:35 a.m. Arizona time. Arizona does not have daylight savings time. So they were just 2 hours behind Washington, D.C. time and New York City time. And that's 8:35. What time did the Twin Towers start to get attacked? This little girl, age 9, was murdered, supposedly by a child, a 22-year-old child. And who are the lawyers for her? Does she have lawyers? Did anybody volunteer to come in and protect her rights in the future trials? Think about that one. Think about the fact that in a parking lot in Arizona, one of the most freest states in which the rights of the people stand, more people carry weapons in their purses, on their bodies, but they were moral enough, astute enough, courageous enough, not to pull the guns out and start shooting, because the masses of number of people, they have enough training, they have enough respect to know that in a parking lot, with several 100 people, you just don't pull your weapon and start shooting.
Don't you find it strange, Drew, that there were no police required to be there?
That was my next comment. The two men that came upon the scene to stop this child while he was reloading his pistol did so armed. They had guns, but they didn't brandish them. Where are the police officers? These two men were not officers of the law. There is a United States congressman, a United States federal judge, their staff. Where are the police officers? Where are the security teams? The congressman didn't fear for anything. Where are all the cameras? Where are all the cell phones? Where's all the aftermarket pictures? Lots of questions out there. Two men that were armed did not pull their guns and start shooting this child. That's what the ACLU calls him. Child. 22 years old. When are we as Americans going to realize that we have to get back to responsibility and God-given rights and God's morals? Don, I'm going to tell you, we got a sick society out here, and it's not going to get any better.
Let me tell you, Drew, I had people asking me last night. I didn't listen to those speeches until after my show last night, the no-legged Mac Daddy's speech, which was turned into a political rally. And I did a show Tuesday night called We Have Short Memories. First time I actually gave a show a title. We Have Short Memories. We were promised dreams and hope and change. Well, we're getting change, all right. But, you know, this thing about dreams, this thing about hope. And this was to be a memorial service. There was no dignity. I'm not saying people had to stand up on a podium and cry, or that people had to be crying out in the audience. But it was a pep rally for a usurper, an infiltrator of the government that still has not proven who he is, where he's from, what rock he crawled out from underneath.
He proved he was a liar.
Oh, yeah, that for sure. And then you have these pundits on mainstream TV lauding the speech. Oh, this was the best speech he's ever given. Defiling the memory of those that were killed. Defiling, defecating on them is what he did. And the audience, the brainwashed masses there, playing along with it. It was a stacked audience, so he would be sure to get applause. And what was he doing when all this went on, when this began? Well, did he not just return from another Hawaii vacation? The seventh or eighth one?
And all the pictures and all the camera videos of this rally and the massive amount of, I shouldn't even say massive. I should say as you very well pointed out, impromptu people that were there supporting him specifically that came into a part of Phoenix, Arizona, where only one out of every 40 people are of the Negro race. And yet the parking lot looked like it had that he was doing a rally in downtown Watts, California.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking the same thing before you said it.
So somebody tell me what's going on here. And where were all the Mexicans that live in this community?
All the illegals. Where were they?
Yeah. And where were all of the, quote, according to the ACLU, where were all the white people? They're in a community where there's only one black man for every 50 to 100 in a community. And obviously, there were several hundred United States Marines on guard. You couldn't get within a quarter of a mile with a rifle for sure. Forget about even getting close with a pistol. Everybody was searched. But you don't hear about that. And then, Don, you astutely saw this, the writings, that portrayal that this was a speech. How dare they do a memorial for a 9-year-old child and turn it into a pep rally?
Mm-hmm.
That's upsetting all by itself. And then the lie that congressmen opened their eyes for the first time. And the reporters that are reporting that she opened her eyes for the first time. And she moved in the presence of this long-legged excuse for a lizard. When in fact, 3 days before, I have the darn article. 3 days before Sunday afternoon, it is reported by the Tucson newspaper Monday morning that Gifford opened her eyes and moved them from side to side with the neurologist holding a pencil light.
And then they reported she was under a medically induced coma.
And then they reported the next day, not in the Tucson paper, but in the Washington Post, that she was had been placed into an induced coma so they could cut part of her head off.
Mm-hmm. Half of her skull was removed.
Half of her skull for the bleeding and the swelling of the brain. Something's wrong with this picture.
Yeah, and then they blame Tea Party people. Then, well, they talked about Sarah Palin more than they did anyone else. Did they do these cameos they like to do, like when the Olympics are on TV for a couple of weeks at a time, Summer Olympics or Winter Olympics? They talk about they pick out a favorite athlete that they want to portray as being a hero or a heroine.
Well, they picked her out as not the heroine, but as the evil side.
Mm-hmm. And then they say, well, you know, this guy is a right winger. He's like the Tea Party people. And then they start attacking Sarah Palin, who's another mind controlled MK Ultra stooge. what business does Sarah Palin have hugging Henry Kissinger?
Wait a minute. She just wasn't hugging. She also kissed him on the cheek. Not once, but several times.
Well, I want to leave the gory details out.
I call a spade a spade. I'm sorry. In the United States Marine Corps, we don't have color. You're green. Okay? And when a black man says anything about one of my fellow Marines, just because his pigmentation happens to be darker than mine, he's still green. I'm going to tell you, we've seen through Henry Kissinger since the days of Nixon. I got news for you, man. I want to tell you, my stomach turns. I get upset. I really get upset, Don, when I turn on this idiot box. And I don't have an idiot box for me to turn on, but I go to friends' houses and their box is on, and I turn my eyesight to this stupid thing, and I see the junk that comes out. And somebody asked me, Drew, how, you know, you stay wired, you stay up on everything. Well, we go back to 1961, and you listen to the professors that talk about the involvement of television in the politics. and the speeches that were made in politics. And they compared the people that watch politicians with people that listen to the same speeches on the radio. Today, it's kind of hard to find a political speech on the radio, Don, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But back in 1960, 1957, it was easy. The 1956 elections with Eisenhower. Speeches all the time were on the radio. There was television. The same in 1960 with the election of Kennedy. There were still speeches. And the people could hear, those that heard the speeches on the radio, heard little tidbits, especially in the U.S. Senate races, and who they could, they felt who could they could trust and who they couldn't. And it was made a big deal in the states in the South because televisions were not that prevalent. Even though we're talking about 1960, you look at who won the presidential election. We all know it was John Fitzgerald Kennedy. But look who lost and what states he carried. Well, obviously, Tricky Dick Nixon lost. But he lost not in the southern states, not in the rural states where televisions were lacking. He lost in the states where everybody had televisions. Because people that heard the speeches between Kennedy and Nixon felt that Nixon would be a better president. It took them another 10 years to find out how crooked Tricky Dick really was. But the bottom line is, you listen to somebody, and you can tell what you really want to hear. I'm not saying that John Fitzgerald Kennedy was a liar. I'm just saying he made statements that people didn't like in the southern states. They heard things in his voice. And what was some of those things? I don't know. I was just a kid. I didn't pay attention to it. I was mad. I was mad because I couldn't watch The Lone Ranger. I had to go to bed because Kennedy was doing a speech with Nixon, and they took off the Lone Ranger program. I got news for you guys. Today, as an adult, I fear for you and I fear for this nation because you are sitting there not networking with your friends. You're listening to this show, Don Nikoloff, BBS Radio. You're listening to other talk radio shows. You're learning the truth, but are you doing anything with it? Don, you put your heart out in getting the truth. You go down the rabbit hole with a silver spoon, and you come up the other end, and you've got this humongous crane with just loads and loads of gold on it. Gold meaning truth. And people hear you come to the radio, and I want to cry because you've got so much truth, and you take time out of your life to write articles. Now, granted, you have a purveyor over on your shoulder, and Frank does a darn good job. I can imagine him screaming at you to make sure you dot your I's and cross your T's. Kudos to Frank. I'll let the audience in on a little secret. You have to ask Don who Frank is.
That'll be an upcoming show. I want to make a point here too. This attack, putting the blame on others. First, they're saying, well, if this guy had health care, he would have been taken care of. Therefore, everybody must need health care. Everybody must have health care, or otherwise they're going to go shooting up politicians. That's what that message means, plain and simple, which is totally absurd. No, they want to disarm the public. They want to turn this into a communist, fascist, Zionist, reptilian state. They want to take everyone's rights away. They want to kill us all off is what they want to do. Let's call a spade, like you said. That's what they want to do. And this silly political argument that this idiot who's a mind-controlled operative, okay? That's what an MK Ultra monarch is, folks. He's brainwashed. He's been tortured since he was born. He was created to perform some act like this. And there are others. There are another 10 million walking the streets of America waiting for the cue to do something similar. And you witness the atrocity of a political rally professing to be a memorial service, defiling the memory of that 9-year-old girl that you described, or that chief federal district court judge who was making a decision that you cannot, he was about to render his decision that Obama cannot compel people to purchase something they don't want. It's unconstitutional. And it would have set the precedent in that one decision for the whole country to shoot down this Obamacare thing, which is nothing but another financial scandal. Drew, I want to take a quick break and bring a musical message and play something. Thieves in the Temple from Prince. Drew, and ladies and gentlemen, it never ceases to amaze me how there's always a song to describe every human condition. And that's from a half white and half black man known as Prince, Thieves in the Temple.
Wait a minute. Prince doesn't consider himself half white or half black.
Oh, he
is. He considers himself a mulatto. He says it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
He joins in with what we refer to in Louisiana as mulattoes. Half white, half black, half Indian, half Chinese, half whatever. Anything but a full blood.
But he's a human being.
He's a human being, and Prince can prove he's a human being. He has a birth certificate, and he on that birth certificate is his real name. But he also has a little document off the side that shows that he changed his name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because of what you played, and I know you probably listened to a few other talk shows, if with your permission. You bring up this blame game.
Have you applied for a permit or a license?
And I want to know, have I applied? No, I don't believe in licenses.
Well, then you don't need
my God-given rights.
You don't need my permission. Just play it.
because, hey, this is your show. This is your network. You know, BBS Radio is not, doesn't have to believe in what I got to say or what I bring forth. But, Don, if you, with your permission, I'd like to share something that I was listening to on mainstream radio being fed to the American people, and you're not going to believe this. The blame game, Don, you mentioned it? Well, here's the blame game. They're even blaming dead presidents.
Go ahead, play it.
I got this new mixer board. I have to make sure everything is set up. Larissa and Bobby do a fantastic job. I don't know how they do it all.
If you're playing it, hit your USB button.
I got it. I had to make sure what I needed to do. All right, here it comes.
But the other point I wanted to make, this shooter is obviously mentally ill. And I remember back when President Reagan basically opened the doors of mental hospitals and put people out on the street. And I think that has led to a lot of these mass tragedies that have happened. I think in Virginia Tech, the young man should have been hospitalized. The shooter should have been hospitalized before any tragedy like this happened. And it's really sad. I am an independent, but I do blame Reagan for putting all the mentally ill out on the streets.
There you go. That was from this morning.
Now, does he run the hospital where that person was, Drew? Make sure.
I want to tell you, I don't know what. I mean, I heard that. I recorded that. Wasn't recording that particular show just in case I missed something. Is because people call me and I'm trying to stay abreast, and I'm thinking, now wait a minute, what's the real truth about this? I had to go back into my archives and pull stories up because this is a tragedy in Tucson is not the only tragedy out there. We have the Columbine tragedy, the West Virginia tragedy, all in the last few years.
Three in Virginia Tech.
In Virginia Tech.
Make sure you hit your USB, by the way, Drew, again, because we got echo.
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay.
Like I said, Larissa and Bobby do a great job of that. I know. Their boards are twice mine. I've used a camcorder to show them what I got, and they're impressed. But when they gave me shots of theirs, forget it. Bobby's got one that's like 6 feet across, and Larissa's got one that's probably about 4 feet. Anyway, going back to what I was saying about this little tidbit, this was a woman calling in blaming a dead president for what's going on in society because, quoting her, she said something to the effect that Reagan let all these people out of these mental hospitals. Well, what she stupidly doesn't realize is the ACLU was the one that came in against the Reagan administration. And the Reagan administration, the lawyers, the Justice Department lost a major lawsuit. And the United States Supreme Court forced Reagan and the Justice Department to let mentally ill people out of hospitals from Maine to Hawaii, from Hawaii to Alaska to Florida, even in Puerto Rico.
They had to make Halloween movies, remember?
Well, they were needing some more Jasons for sure. There weren't enough Jasons in all the jurisdictions out there.
See, they don't tell you the truth. First of all, these people aren't being healed. They're in there.
No,
they're in there.
They're not healed.
Making money for the pharmaceutical companies.
Staying drugged up.
Mm-hmm.
And there are military men and the wives of military men. They're the wife of the most decorated soldier of World War II died last year in April. And since the time of her husband's death, since the days of her husband's death, she has fought for the rights of veterans in hospitals to be medicated or not medicated with hallucinogen drugs.
Or hallucinogenic.
Hallucinogenic drugs. Mrs. Audie Murphy.
Yes.
Fought gallantly for military men in the hospitals. And if you came to the VA hospital there in Los Angeles, and she was on the floor when she came to the VA hospital 7 days a week until the last 6 months of her life, Mrs. Murphy would tell a general, step aside, that the PSC is in the hospital. The general's just walking around. She didn't have any qualms about making sure that all veterans got recognition, just like Audie Murphy. He didn't care what your rank was. He put his pants on. He fought just like everybody else. He had more respect for people that were in the military, but when they left the base, they put on their civilian clothes so they could be part of the civilian population.
Yeah, she passed away, wasn't it just last October or November?
April.
Or was it that long ago?
It was that long ago, but here's the kicker. Most television stations that are basically controlled and independent newspapers didn't run anything about it until October. She'd been dead almost 6 months.
Yeah. Now that clip that you played just a few minutes ago, you noticed the woman said, well, I'm independent. In other words,
she wanted to make a point that she was an independent voter.
That's supposed to mean, oh, I'm not political or I'm not on the left attacking the right. You see?
Because she doesn't want to be chastised as being, you know, somebody that holds a viewpoint. But she wants to blame Reagan.
Well, she was sent out there on purpose. That's what we need to see.
There you go. That's exactly what that was all about.
You heard that on the mainstream, and I always tell my listeners, I may not say it this way, but if you want to find the truth, you're listening to something, you want to see the truth, listen to what you get from the mainstream media. Do an about-face for you civilians out there. That means turn around 180 degrees and follow your nose. And that's the direction of the truth. Go ahead, Drew.
Follow the nose that's on your backside.
Well, you can do
the bottom line is
you don't have to do the about face to do that.
The bottom line about this entire situation with this caller on mainstream media was that She was sent there, just like Don says. She was sent out there to put information in people's heads. Blaming Ronald Reagan with the ACLU was the ones that wanted the people out. And who ran the ACLU and who was the leading lawyers at the time? They became heads of ACORN.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good point, because the school that this assassin in Tucson went to was following a curriculum designed by Bernadine Dorn and William Ayers.
There's what I was leading up to.
Go ahead, then.
William Ayers and Bernadine Dorn. Hey, wait a minute. I better ask Don. Don, who are Bernadine Dorn and William Ayers?
Well, they're terrorists. They're real terrorists, okay?
Real, real terrorists.
And one, Bernadine Dorn, is an associate professor of law at Northwestern University. Get this. This is a terrorist. This is somebody responsible for bombing and killing people. And William Ayers, the author of Dreams for My Father.
He's
at the University of Chicago.
She is a murderer.
Yeah.
He is a murderer. And they are personal, close friends of this lizard sitting in Washington, D.C., that affectionately refers to himself as president. I got news for that lizard. You may be president by name and name only, but you're not president of the people, by the people, for the people. I feel that you are president only because somebody bought you into that office.
Well, you know, on the world stage, behind the scenes, in the corrupt financial community, with all the embezzlement that's going on, all the financial fraud, he calls himself God. Yeah. And, you know, by the way, besides the 700-plus secret accounts in the Vatican Bank, they're finding accounts in Switzerland as well, which belong to congressmen, senators, and House of Representatives, and Supreme Court justices, and even the treasurer of, or secretary of the U.S. Treasury.
And the Supreme Court justices are fed up. I mean, the Supreme Court, the Swiss government is fed up. And that's why that information is being leaked out there. Because of the government of the United States wanting to go in and look at all of the other Americans, the normal guy who has a bank account in Switzerland, regardless of what his money is. And we're talking about, I didn't know this. There's a lot of millionaires that put their money in Switzerland to hide it from tax accounts. But for every millionaire and multimillionaire and billionaire that had accounts in Switzerland, there were 100 American citizens earning less or having less than $1 million in a Swiss bank account. Over 100,000. Had less than $1 million in Swiss bank accounts, dating all the way back to World War II. And yet they were ordered by the International Court in The Hague to turn over the records to the United States government so the United States government could then contact their corporate employee contractor, the Internal Revenue Service, to go after these people to collect taxes on interest that they've been making on that money for 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
And the Swiss government said, okay, well, fine. You know, we've got to do it. No more Americans can open an account up. If you don't have an account already opened up in Switzerland, you cannot open an account in Switzerland because they're having to go through their records and turn everything over to the United States agent, known as the Internal Revenue Service, who has a contract with the government of the United States to investigate. And the Swiss government, they're coming out and they're telling you, they're putting it in their newspapers. Contractor. The contractor for the United States government, Internal Revenue Service, seeks assets at, and then they name a bank. And they're going bank to bank to bank to bank.
Should I play Thieves in the Temple?
Hey, there you go. That would fit.
Oh, man. So, it just doesn't stop, you see. But while this is going on, you see, you have political rallies going on to honor people who have been slaughtered by MK Ultra CIA-sponsored mind control programs. Don't get rid of the guns. Get rid of the CIA. Put them in jail for the murder and the drug dealing and the thievery that they're involved in. Oh, and they say, oh, it's all legal. It's all legal. Let the people pay for it.
Let me ask you something. This is a little off subject, but it relates to it. Ladies and gentlemen, look at your map of the United States. And look at Arizona, and look where Tucson is.
Oh,
not too far north of the Mexican border, but it's in a rural area of Arizona. And the only little claim to fame that I could find out about Tucson, Arizona in modern times is this one location where an underground base doesn't exist, and there's no tunnels, no underground railroad tunnels that are 22 floors below the surface of the earth. I was quite amazed when I was looking at my maps to see what's going on the underground bases in Arizona and the tunnels that crisscross with a hub located in Denver, Colorado. Now, that sounds like it's a little off subject, but ladies and gentlemen, the government of the United States has been lying to Americans for 50 years when they first started this little underground base BS. And this murder in Arizona was to take out a judge who has on his docket sheet a request of freedom information request on underground tunnels and bases. It's not going to be heard now.
Yeah, have you seen any of the photos of what they call the Boneyard near Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in Tucson?
And those of you that don't know what the Boneyard is, it's massive. Massive. Where the United States government parks aircraft that is taken out of service. The entire United States Marine Corps RF-4Bs are sitting there. The entire United States Marine Corps RF-4B, the RF-4B is a reconnaissance jet from the Vietnam era. And that the RF-4B today is being flown by the Turkish Army. Not the ones that flew in Vietnam, but the modern RF-4B and the modern F-4 fighter from the Vietnam era. Still being built, still being used, and the Boneyard also has acres and acres of B-52 bombers. And what's really interesting about what you just brought up, Don, is that if the United States were to go into a new war, this facility, known as the Boneyard, 60% of those planes can be made operational in less than 90 days.
And each one cost millions and millions. And I kid you not, if you saw an overhead view of just part of this area, just a small section of this area. It looks like the solder joints on the bottom of a motherboard in the world's largest computer.
According to a captain, United States Marine Corps, now he did not retire. He served 6 years in the Marine Corps and resigned. He took a job there. According to him, there are $1.5 trillion worth of electronics and aircraft assembled there. There are $3 trillion worth of parts. $3 trillion worth of parts.
Just sitting there.
And they have everything on computers. You need a part. They have a list of planes that are being used as scavenger park planes. But every aircraft out there, everything that's in that aircraft is on a computer. And they know where every part is, where every bolt is, that it might be needed. And total, ladies and gentlemen, $3 trillion worth of part, $1.5 trillion worth of aircraft.
Half of that would bring this country back on its feet financially, you know, if it was not being stolen.
And the parts can be taken off and sold and used in all kinds of businesses. Just like the business that I had when I had my real estate business and electronic business married together with my paralegal business, because in Arkansas, a real estate broker can own another business or two businesses, provided that all the records and all the staff work under the same roof. One of those little tidbits that I learned when I got out of real estate broker school in 1987 and worked for Rector Real Estate here in Little Rock. And I waited. I bid my time. And in 1989, January the 13th, Hart & Associates moved into its building on Cantrell Road. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is my birthday for my business, moving into its own right in 1989. A business that I started in 1983 in September at my mother's breakfast table, Hart & Associates. And Hart & Associates was placed in limbo because I could not be the owner of an electronic company and a real estate agent unless I married them both together under the same roof. Couldn't do two jobs. And from 1989 to 1993, I was knocking off more money than I knew what to do and more money I knew how to spend, because I would sell a house every month, 6% commission, 40% of that money was mine. Usually it was $6,000 commission, and 40% of that $6,000 was my money, or 60% of that money was my money. 40% went to the broker that I worked for. He got 40% of everything I did. And after you sell houses for 2 years and you're giving somebody else $2,400 of all the money you're making, all the money you're doing, you get a little PO'd of all the labor that you do, and somebody else sits in a chair and they go out and go on whatever they do, snorting their little white powder, visiting some young girl that's a third their age, while their wife is out doing the shopping. You get fed up with that because you have morals. I had morals and I was upset at it, and this is what's wrong with America today. It's gotten worse and it's getting worse. Where are we at? Don, you and I do everything we possibly can to bring the truth. Don Newsom and his brother, they do everything they can do to bring the truth on BBS radio to the point where they have four stations operating from one building. And how many of our listeners have the guts to get out there, Don, and share the information?
Good question. You know, I exhort my listeners to sign up for archives to get the show. They can download all the shows for a whole year on this network, and it keeps the network alive. It keeps my show on the air. It keeps other shows on the air, and it keeps the truth coming.
Here's one for you. Just got a pop-up from one of the Wind Talkers Radio Network owners from Munich, Germany. Do you have any recommendations on what we can do? And yes, I do.
I just gave one.
You just heard it. And then that, and if you don't understand this, go down to your local haberdashery or Office Depot type business. I don't know what they have in Munich. Get you some blank business cards that you print on your own printer and print out on one side your name and your phone number or your business, and on the other side, print out the link, http://www.BakerSierraRadio.com. And right underneath that, put Truth Radio. Put the word you want truth in radio. Fine. But you don't have to do that. Just put the website address on there. And then write for truth. Promote BBS Radio. Promote Don. And promote others that put out the truth that are trying. And I don't care. I really don't care, ladies and gentlemen. If somebody owns a TV station and they don't want to put the truth out, or they put the truth out but they don't want to adhere to it, that's their business. It's called free will. I believe one thing, but that doesn't mean that I'm out there trying to beat up on somebody that doesn't believe the way I believe. I'm not going to grab my 50 caliber pistol and go shoot somebody because they believe in having a driver's license and I don't. That's their prerogative. I'm not in fear of my life. I am in fear of yours. I'm in fear that we're going to be enslaved if we don't stand up and let it be known what our stand is. I'm willing to go to jail, and the police are willing to put me there, but the district attorneys and the city governments, they're tired of putting me in jail for no driver's license. They tell the cops, leave him alone. Every time they throw my posterior in jail, they know they're going to go to the Supreme Court. I may lose, but it's going to cost them $22,000 just to get me in, out of the court. The last time the state of Arkansas threw me into court, it cost them $311,000 in man hours, fighting the pleadings, putting out the paper, answering the Freedom of Information requests.
You know, another idea too, Drew, you know, a lot of people listening out there know of websites. You know, they can put my website, they can link with my website. I'll be happy to promote somebody that's putting out decent music, decent talk radio anywhere in the world.
Michael Anthony.
And they can reciprocate.
Michael Anthony, here's an herbalist who doesn't have the money to have his own website, but has some of the best herbs out there. Energy, anxiety. He's got a remedy for your toenails, guys. Those of you that have problems with your toenails on the fungus, He's got a little tub of stuff that works like a champ. I know I've used it.
Well, we're not trying to turn it into commercial.
No, it's not, I'm not just letting you know that that's what it's what you've got. You put things out there that nobody else does, and that's what it's all about. Networking. We're not trying to turn this into a commercial.
Yeah.
I'm just letting people. I'm giving people an example.
Yeah,
people don't pay me.
Michael's been on my show for about 3 years, and he's been on my website for that long. I started my website the day I started my radio show.
Well, I'm still working on getting on my website.
Well, no, all I'm saying is, you know, that's a way of getting the message out. You would.
And
there's tons of websites.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Don doesn't get that website for free. He has to pay for it, just like I have to pay for mine. And I don't know. I just put my knees on the ground, or not on the ground, but on the floor next to my bed, and I put my hands up next to my head, and I pray in February every year for donations to pay for my website. It costs me about $300 a year. Now that sounds like a little high to a lot of you out there, but you don't understand what goes along with that. That means I also have bandwidth, so you can listen to my radio show. Hey, we're only talking $15 a month. That's pretty darn cheap when you look at the bandwidth that I have to network 185 radio stations around the world. And some of you out there don't consider them radio stations because they only carry 5 watts. But I'll tell you what, there are 53 that are over 10,000 watts. There are 10 that are over 20,000 watts. And there are 5 that are over 40,000 watts. And there is 1 that is a 50,000-watt transmitter. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a major mainstream power. And it's all about truth. I don't own those stations. Other Marines own those stations. The vast majority are 1 to 10 watt radio stations. The vast majority are located in rural areas of the world, the 5 territory outback of Australia, the rural regions of Mexico and Costa Rica and Venezuela and Peru and Guyana, rural areas in Russia, in the Ukraine, in Germany, Marines that have been stationed and lived in these countries such as Sweden and Finland, Ireland, Scotland. We don't know of any Marine that has been stationed in Africa and moved to Africa to where we could communicate and talk with them to help them put up a Wind Talker, privately owned, independently operated. We're willing to help. We're willing to show them. I ran my own station right here out of the bedroom of my own house with a $39 headphone set and microphone combo that I bought at Walmart for $39 and used a computer that I paid $20 for that was a hand-me-down computer sold at auction at the State of Arkansas auction room. And I did that for 5 years. And then I put together computers to build up an extra one. And I got hand-me-down computers from friends in North Carolina, in California, in Texas, in Louisiana. And I've graduated up to where now I've got 3 darn good super fast computers. I've got a 4th one sitting over here that was donated to me by somebody down in Texas. It's got more viruses on it. The car has liver pills, and I happen to hook the sucker up. And since they're not friends, they don't consider them to be friends of mine anymore. They have badmouthed me. I keep that computer off the side to remind me that not everybody that donates stuff are my friends. I got a mixer board and a microphone that you hear me on right now, because Don Nikoloff took money out of his pocket that he really didn't need to do to help my show go to the next level. And because of the quality, because of the dedication that I do, we're getting some extra support from independent wind talkers who are going to assist me in having an 800 call-in line. I'm not a talk show host. I never was a talk show host. I'm just a loud Marine that's got a rant, and I've got a burr underneath my saddle.
And you got a duffel bag full of truth. And then some.
Back with an armored tank that I stole from the Nazis.
Well, Drew, listen, we got to wrap up here, but
I got some tape. You need, you know, you can hold your finger and I'll tape it. you wrap, I'll tape.
I appreciate the enthusiasm out there. You know, we're just trying to give you ideas, folks. We go through a lot to bring the show to you, and before you just take it for granted, you might consider doing what Drew's suggesting. Subscribe to the BBS Radio Archives for 1 year. It's a nominal fee. You can download any program, or you don't even have to download it if you don't want to. You can go right there and listen to it on the Archives page. They have the Trusted News Trader page, which is a place where people put important stories, videos, audio, messages that direct you to other places you can go for accurate and honest information. That's what you need to be doing. Drew, I want to thank you for being on the show.
Can I do a plug?
Quickly.
Tomorrow, my show, amd.elequity.com, just click to listen. 2200 hours GMT time for those of you out there in Yorba Linda. That's 2 p.m. in the afternoon. I'm going to be doing a show on underground bases, underground tunnels, and I'd like for you to come and listen about something that you need to know about that is extremely important about these underground bases, these underground tunnels, and the fact that these underground tunnels have trains that run at Mach 1. Thank you, Don, for allowing me to run that promotion. The 3 W's, AMD, Alpha Michael Delta, dot, Echo Lima, the word equity, .com. It'll be a 3-hour show, Friday, the 14th day of January in the United States, the 15th day down under. And to the friends that we have in New Zealand on Highway 8, I appreciate all the support that you guys give me from the pub. I know I've got a bill down there. One of these days, I'm going to come down and have one with you. Thank you, Don.
Okay. Thank you, Drew. And I want to remind the listeners to keep praying for the people in Australia. The Brisbane area is still underwater, and Your prayers are much appreciated. Again, our guest tonight, Drew Malone Raines III, his website, amd.elequity.com. His radio show is A Marine's Disquisition. For those of you on the internet, that's blogtalkradio.com. Drew, thank you. I wish you a good night, and I want to let the listeners know you'll be back with us again next Thursday night.
To all my Marines, Semper Fi, to Donald and Doug Newsom, Semper Fi, to Don Nikoloff, God bless you for all that you've done for me and for the listeners around the world. Semper Fi.
Thank you, Drew. Thank you. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBS Radio. And again, Drew Malone Raines III. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network, who we've just been talking about for the last 15 or 20 minutes. And over at BBS Radio, want to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound tonight, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be scientist inventor Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.
This real nice campfire. Now all we need is the radio. Go get that radio so we can listen to BBS.
Gosh darn, boss. We got this here radio, but we ain't got no batteries.
Well, I told you to buy some batteries yesterday, but you forgot to buy them today.
A man can only do so many things in one day. Go into town and get some for the both of us.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Dag nabbit, you and your BBS radio.